Well, are you excited and expectant to be here this morning? Are you excited and expectant to be here this morning? I am, if you can't tell. What's up, Colin? Welcome back. Welcome back on a little conference. Welcome back to Eric and Cindy Scott. They're back from a 7-week sabbatical. All right, we're doing the thing here, church. Well, we are continuing our Sermon on the Mount series. This is actually part 7, which I was like, that can't be true. We've been 7 weeks in these teachings. It's flew by. So we are examining what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And we are also learning in this teaching that through these scriptures, how we can participate in the kingdom of God. It's both of those things together. So we are going to jump right into the scriptures. So if you have your Bible with actual pages, let's hear those pages flipping to Matthew 6. We're going to go to verse 19. If you have a digital device, that's okay too. Just scroll down, swipe down from the top and put on Do Not Disturb so you're not distracted by any notifications this morning. So Matthew 6, 19 through 24 says this: don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Right off the bat, we see Jesus setting a pretty high standard through this teaching, and the points he's making can be phrased in questions like these. What do you value? What is your heart desiring? What's in your heart? And who are you faithful to? This is another teaching in this series where Jesus isn't messing around, is he? He's got the daggers out. He's going there. In other words, Jesus is showing us that if we're going to truly follow his teachings, it will be evident in the details of our individual lives. And I know you've heard me say that before. If we're going to truly follow Jesus, our lives are going to look like something. And in this teaching, one of those details that's specifically mentioned is money. Now, the issue of money is mentioned frequently in the Bible because money can be a deceptive and prevalent temptation. It can cause us to stumble. I said can be. And Jesus is often using material possessions as examples for us in his teachings. He doesn't prohibit enjoyment from material things. But he does forbid selfish, extravagant materialism that ties us and our thoughts to things of the world, as opposed to things of heaven. That's what Jesus is trying to get through in this teaching. And that's why he's directly calling his followers, you are going to have to choose a master. It's going to be me or it's going to be money. He's not saying that money is bad or that money is evil. But what he is saying is that a master gets exclusive service to you. When you serve a master, they get exclusive service. And as disciples of Jesus, our loyalties cannot be divided. We are either completely in or we are either completely out. We are either a slave to money or we are proudly a slave of God. There is a line in the sand, and that line is becoming even more clear that God must be our master, church. If he is, you will be completely devoted to him. You will love him, and you will seek the reward of living in obedience to Jesus. And it's exactly how Jesus was to God. He lived in that obedience, and he sought the reward of living in obedience to him. And a temptation of our age and of our culture is you can have it all. Many things can be your master. God, money, sure. Finding identity in what people think about you, absolutely. Little bit of this, little bit of that. The reality is it's a lie from the devil. It is a lie from the devil, and the enemy has been using this lie time and time again for years and years and years. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness for testing, and the devil tempts him. So page back just a few pages to Matthew 4. Scroll back just a few swipes to Matthew 4, verse 8 through 10. And you're going to see it happening to Jesus. Verse 8 says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Not only is Jesus teaching us that God must be our master, he's actually living it. We bow down and we serve our master. And Jesus is using that same, the enemy is using that same temptation today that he tempted Jesus with. So when our hearts and our desires are fixed on living for the king, not just the benefits of the kingdom, when they're fixated on living for the king and making him our master, then Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6, 25, through 34, page back ahead, verse 25, that is why I tell you. In some translations, it might say, therefore. So he's setting the stage on what it looks like for God to be our master. And then he says, so because of that, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Earlier, we saw Jesus directing and calling his followers to choose a master, God or money. And here, Jesus is teaching you are going to have to choose an outlook in life. Faith and peace or worry. Three separate times in this teaching, Jesus gives the command, do not worry. And he's repeating it over and over because it's one of those phrases that no matter how many times you hear it, our universal, fallen, sinful nature is to do just the opposite, to anxiously worry. But we must understand that when we're focused on worrying and it consumes us, we focus on the things rather than the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. Rather than Jesus. And did you ever notice that when you worry, I know this in my life, I worry about many things all at once. And they're like compartmentalized. Okay, worries about family, worries about my kids, worries about financial issues, worried about the country, worried about job difficulties, worried about whatever it is. It's like compartmentalized, and every worry carries its own weight. Well, in the Greek, the word worry means to separate or divide into parts. And the word suggests a distraction, being engrossed with things, causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. And here comes Jesus. Don't do it. Just don't worry. Sometimes it sounds too good to be true. But in the middle of the worry, in the middle of the anxious feelings, in the middle of a fear, you need to know that there is a name above it all, and we've been worshiping him this morning. The name of Jesus reigns over our worry. The name of Jesus reigns over our anxiety. It is the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This isn't just a scripture that we pull out around Christmas. He is Jesus, our Prince of Peace, our Master. Do you know him as your peace this morning? Does it grip your heart? Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Because in these times, it's easy to drift away into other things. Other things that cause us worry can become our master. But peace is a deep-rooted trust that only comes from relationship from the Lord. Peace is not a feeling to chase. It's not a feeling to go after. Peace is an anchor in the depths of our soul. There is a tangible peace knowing that our best life ahead is in heaven. There is a tangible peace knowing that our children belong to the Lord. There is a tangible peace knowing that the Holy Spirit will help you parent and deal with tough situations. Come what may, but we are children of God. That is our identity. And this is deeply rooted, abiding peace that cannot be taken away between our hearts and our Creator. In other words, our hearts and our master. This is what he offers us. And it's a peace that the world does not understand at all. We live in a world and a culture where everyone's trying to be something and trying to strive for more, trying to master many things. And usually what happens is the things that we try to master become the master of us. But the more we are found in him, the less worry we have, and the more secure we are in life. I know that firsthand, that the more we fall in love with Jesus, the more we find and discover the beauty of the Lord, that he shows up for you in different circumstances and different situations. And when that happens, the more peace we have in our hearts. So why is Jesus repeatedly commanding us not to worry? Because he is not only peace in our hearts, but remember what we just said. Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Because God is our provider. God is our provider, and it's not only a name, it's not only what he does. God, our provider, is who he is. In every situation, God's love and provision for us began even before conception. That's what the Bible tells us. That before the world was created, and what an honor and gift to know that God has been providing in our lives from the very start. The reality is, from the start, before we even realized it, he has been God the provider in our hearts. And his provision for us is embedded in his character. It's embedded in his highest desire for us being good. It's the love of a father. The provision comes natural when we are children of God. It's blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He doesn't want us to be weighed down with worry. He is our provision because that's who he is. He provided his one and only son to be a sacrifice for us. That Jesus would lay down his life for us, his friends. It's the heart of provision. Romans 8, 31, 32, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? It's right there in the scripture. It's right in front of us. We must know that his idea of what we need is often different from what we want. But he's still a provider. He truly is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And he's providing right in the moment that you're at. Providing a way to go deeper with him. Providing opportunity to sit at his feet. Providing opportunity to dig into the secret place to spend time with him. That's where you develop this heartbeat of God. And only knowing God as our provider is not enough. We must trust him deep in our hearts to be provider. And it's available for all of us. Truly trusting God as our provider comes from a heart that is rooted in seeking the kingdom of God above all else and living righteously. Just like the scriptures say, a heart that's rooted in seeking the kingdom of God above all else and living righteously is a heart that prioritizes time with Jesus, alone time with the Lord. It prioritizes time in worship, just like this morning. Whether you're here in church, just like Colette said, or at home, it prioritizes time in your Bible. It prioritizes time in prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. It's a heart that is living in surrender and obedience just because of who he is, just because he's worthy. It's a heart that's sharing the good news of the kingdom with others. It's a heart that is living in complete victory and joy in the middle of circumstances. We don't only trust God as our provider in our heads with knowledge, we trust him deep in our hearts. Just the other day, as I was preparing for this message, I woke up in the morning and I just had the thought, I was like, you know what's weird? I didn't have to think about, is my body going to breathe when I go to sleep? You know, I have weird thoughts like that. You just kind of wake up and you're like, well, body, good job. There was breath in my lungs the whole night while I slept. Some of us, maybe that, you know, that sleep is a little bit shorter than others. Usually around 5:30 a.m., my 7-year-old son, Judah, is waking us up. He doesn't nap either. He's crazy. But seriously, think about that for a second. It's deeply rooted in your belief system that you're just going to trust that your body's going to get you through the night while you're sleeping. Even right now, have you thought about the fact that you're breathing? Now you have. That's what this trust actually looks like. It's so foundational and true that you don't even need to think about it. It's what victory in the Lord looks like. That's what God as our provider looks like. He will give us everything we need. It's rooted in your belief system so deeply that you don't even think about it. Even when the stuff hits the fan. Even when the stuff hits the fan and you know there's somebody at the workplace who knows what's on your plate and they say, how are you doing this? How are you getting through this? And most of the time our answer looks like, it's hard to explain. It's really hard to explain. I just trust God and he's faithful. That's what this is about. That's what these scriptures are about. So how do we get to that point? How do we know if we are truly seeking God's kingdom first? What does it look like for us as believers to do it? There are questions that we can ask ourselves. First one, who do I trust as my provider? Truly think about it. Who do you trust as your provider? What themes dominate my thought life? I'm going to be honest with the situation that happened with Donald Trump yesterday. This morning when I woke up, everything in me was drawing towards Twitter on my phone and news sources and wanting to put the TV on to see what the latest was. It was consuming me. There was this pull to find out more. What's the latest? Is there information on the shooter? What's happening? What are they saying? The reality is that draw was drawing me away from Jesus just this morning. News isn't bad and staying up to date isn't bad, but I knew that if I opened it and I went online, there was going to be a rabbit trail. And the reality is that rabbit trail was going to do something to my heart. You know what I'm talking about. My body temperature was probably going to rise a few degrees. I was going to see tons of different headlines from every different news source. One saying this thing, another saying this thing. But in that moment, you say, not right now. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first above all else. That's what it looks like. When I get home today, will I peek at the news? Yeah. I'm not saying the news is sin. I actually worked in news media. But there need to be some boundaries and there needs to be priorities set straight. We must live under the lordship of Jesus and what the word says. So what themes are dominating my thought life? My sinful nature wanted that to dominate my thought life this morning. Where do I spend my energy and put my focus? Think about that. When am I spending time with Jesus? Sometimes when we're not truly seeking God's kingdom first, this is what our answers could look like. In my life anyway, who do I trust as my provider? Myself. What themes dominate my thought life? What ifs? What if this happens? What if that happens? Where do I spend my energy and put my focus? Getting things done? When am I spending time with Jesus? Whenever I have time. These are the thoughts that dominate unbelievers. That's what the Bible says. It's the opposite of Jesus' teachings. You know, I remember one time with Kristen and I, we were newly married. And of course, we had a conversation about finances. And I said something dumb and alluded to me being her provider. You know, she is fiery. But you know what's crazy? She didn't correct me. The Holy Spirit corrected me, which is way worse than a fiery wife. So clearly in my spirit, the Lord said, I am Kristen's provider. Now, was I in a position to partner with God and provide for my family? Absolutely. But it was a thought process of I am the provider. And the Lord said, absolutely not. Who do you think you are, big guy? That's what I'm talking about here. And you know what's crazy with these questions? Money can also be an answer to these. Money can try taking the place of the kingdom. It's subtle, usually. But listen, money can be our provider. Do you know that it's not? You know the difference. God will use money as a tool, but money is not the provider. God is the provider. Money can solve a lot of my what ifs, too. What if this happens? I'm good with this money. Money can be a motivator for even getting things done. Money can dominate our schedule. But we must submit it to the place of under the lordship of Jesus. Money is a tool and money is good. But it must not come from a place where we are serving money. We must only serve God. And according to Jesus, these answers of money and myself and those what ifs, those answers to those questions dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But we who have learned to put God first find peace in the holy, never-ending promise that God is our provider, church. And he will give us everything we need. It's exactly what the scripture teaches us. If the truth that God is our peace and provider is rooted deep in our hearts, where is the need to worry? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? God has promised to provide for his own. Did you know that God doesn't want us to carry the weight of worry? 1 Peter 5:7, it says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. Do you know he cares about you? Provision and peace isn't just a title. He cares for you. He wants your worries. He wants your concerns. We just need to hand them over to him. Sounds easy, but it takes a decision every single day to seek the kingdom of God first. Not only is God our provider, but he is also our provider who cares. He's our provider who cares, and he's concerned about everything that happens to us. So I ask again this morning, do we truly trust God as our provider? Do we really believe it? So right now, I want that question to settle into our hearts. God sees you. He cares about you. He wants more of you. So let's stand to our feet this morning. Please stay in this moment, because I believe there's healing to offer in Jesus. So this isn't a time to go. This is a time to truly reflect on Jesus and make a decision in your heart. Is he my master? Does he look like my master? So I want to pray together as a church. And if you're here and you know you need a deeper trust in the Lord as your peace, I want you to just raise your hand. If you want to trust the Lord deeper as your peace, raise your hand. If you want to trust the Lord deeper as your provider, I want you to raise your hand. If there's something in your situation that's going on and you need Jesus to show up, if you are sick of worrying, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray together as a church. And for those of us that don't have our hands raised, look around. Keep those hands up. Look around. We're going to pray together as a church. I want you to go to somebody that has their hand up, and I want you to lay hands on them, and I want you to pray healing. Pray healing, and that the Lord will move as peace. The Lord will move as provider. And the Lord will heal them with the worries that are consuming them. So keep your hand up. We can spread out, and we're all going to pray together. Go ahead. Go find somebody with their hand up. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we want to truly know you as our peace and our provision. God, speak into our hearts this morning in a powerful way. Let us know more about who you are and your character, that you are one who provides for us. You are one who cares for us. Your word says, do not fear, for you are with us. Your word says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Your word says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Your word says, if you are for us, who can be against us? So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you direct hearts right now all across this room and for those watching online, that there is a deeper revelation through the Holy Spirit of how much you love us, Jesus. That there is a desire to seek you and your kingdom first and more passionately, Lord. Jesus, your word says, do not worry. So, Holy Spirit, allow us to catch the worry before it rabbit trails and just take it to God and reflect on those questions, the truth of who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for your healing. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're moving, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Jesus is for you. He's not against you. He loves you and he wants to provide. He wants to help you in those situations. How to parent. He wants to help you. How to maneuver through tough conversations with family. Just take it to the Lord. If you're here and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, or you're here and maybe one day you made a decision and you've fallen away and you want to recommit your life to Jesus, it's the only decision to make. And it's the decision that's going to make your life brand new in Him. It gives us the ability to call on Him as Lord and Savior and Provider. If you want to make that decision this morning, put your hand up. Raise it high. The ushers have a Bible for you. There is new life in Jesus. Don't be ashamed of a recommitment if you've fallen away. Can we thank God this morning for what He's doing in our hearts? If there's still a burden on your heart and there's still worry and you're thinking through some things, come down front after we dismiss. There will be a prayer team down here that would love to pray with you, that would love to cast our burden to the Lord with you. So come down to the front and receive prayer. If you receive the Bible, your next step is water baptism. So you can take that Bible back to the connections room. The lights will be on back there in just a moment. Talk with somebody in connections. If you're here for the first time and want to meet some people, you can stop by connections as well. Jesus loves you. He is provider. In the middle of it all. Amen, church. One more time. Let's clap for Him. WC, we clap. All right, everyone, let's stay connected and have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.